Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. So honored to be back. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you. When I came in yesterday at the San Francisco airport, the immigration man asked me, probably thought I was a typical American tourist, you know, coming back from a tour of a few weeks to America. He said, "How long have you been gone on your trip?" I said, 48 years. And I usually tell them this, I live in China and I'm a missionary from China to the United States of America to preach the gospel here, because you really needed it here. Amen. Well, in 1985, the head of an organization called Open Doors came to me and said, "You've heard of Brother Andrew, right? God smuggler." He said, "We've had some difficulties in China. One of our main leaders has been arrested and has left, not in charge anymore. Do you have anybody that you can recommend to help to take over Open Doors ministry?" Well, we were even then taking in Bibles. We call them God's Smuggler, Bibles for China, Donkeys for Jesus. And sure, we have a young man in our church, used to be in the Triads Criminal Association, but he got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, loves the Lord, speaks a little bit of English, Daniel Wu. So he took over the operation in China. Later on, he was sent to Irvine, Southern California, with his family, Sharon, and she's also here tonight. And they have several children that are serving the Lord. And but a few years ago, after running Open Doors in America for many years, he left, and now he has a ministry called Nexus, and they're helping out to reach mostly Muslims in places like Pakistan and Lebanon and Syria and other places. And also he's recently taken over the directorship of the ministry that is involved in China in my church, which is called Revival Chinese Ministries International. If you're interested, at the back, there's a lot of information and books about that. You can even sign up, and we'll send you newsletters and email reports. Well, before I share what I want to share tonight, which is about missions, I'd like Daniel, who's also called Johnny Lee. He has different names, you know, different aliases. And Daniel Wu or Johnny Lee to come and to share a little bit about what is involved in their ministry. Thank you. God bless you, Daniel.
Thank you. Hi, good evening. Eventually, you look at me, I'm a Chinese. But God, hey, he have his humor. He gave me a Caucasian father. Dennis Malcolm was my spiritual father, and I baptized in 1972, and one of his very first converts in Hong Kong. And I speak, Dennis speak multi-languages, and I speak four languages. I speak Cantonese as my mother tongue, and Mandarin as a national language. I speak a little English, but actually most of the time I speak Chinglish. So you have to open your ear to understand me tonight. And you have missionary go to Cambodia and Vietnam. And here I have a cross, little cross from Cambodia. It's a coconut shell is a cross. When I see you have this communion table, I really have to share with you the recent news in North Korea. In America or the Western world, communion table, bread and grape juice, it's a piece of cake. You can take it any time. A group of Chinese were in Pyongyang in North Korea, capital. The sisters, you know, always have something, you know, earring, a necklace. And this group of Christians was walking in the street of Pyongyang. A North Korean Christian, while he saw there's not many people around, and he was very quietly walked close to this group of tourists, used a pen to write a cross in his hand. "Are you this? Are you this?" "Yes." At the end, they ran into the toilet. And this Christian, he said, "Can you wait for me? I come back very soon. You better fast." He ran, he came back. He came back with, he said, this is all I can find. He have some biscuits and alcohol, wine. Can we have communion table here in the toilet? Couldn't understand. He said, brother, for 43 years, I have no one to share the table of the Lord with me. Can we take the communion table just right here? Another occasion, similar situation. And they draw a cross to this group of Chinese tourists. Are you this? Are you this? Yes. And then they run into the toilet again. But this North Korean Christian say the same things. Can you wait for me? I come back very soon. He ran, he came back. He used a paper to wrap something. Can you take this? What is this? This is my 17 years tithing. You know, North Korean currency did not worth anything. But this is my 17-year tithing. Can you take it? I have no church. I have no brother and sister I can give. Satan used different way to persecute us. Take away our privilege. I became a Christian. I was a gangster, mafia, and done a lot of bad things. I worship idol, and you call black magic, I call Buddha magic, worship of God got upon me. I have supernatural power, and people torture me. I don't feel pain and couldn't hurt me. I have extra power to hurt people. And Dennis Balcom came to Hong Kong as a missionary, as an English teacher. My sister wanted to learn English. At the end, she became a Christian, and he called me to come to church. It was the very first time in my life to come to church, a very small church. They preached. I was the last at the church at the back. And all of a sudden, while they praised and worshiped, the Holy Spirit came upon me. And the Holy Spirit touched my life, said, you need to repent. I cry and cry. I couldn't understand. At the end, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, you need to repent. I said, no, I can't. Three times, and the last time he said, do you know I'm a real God? I'm the truth God. I'm the only God. It strike me. I know God. Who are you? And I make the very first prayer in my life, even though I don't know I was praying. I said, God, if you're a real God, Jesus, change my life. If you can change me, I believe you. From that prayer, the Lord changed my life upside down. Glory to God. And afterward was with Dennis Balcom, and we went to the border in Hong Kong, and we were in the little hill, look at China. We overnight, we scream and we shout, China, you have to open up. This lion, sleeping lion, you have to open up. You have to wake up. And the Lord answered our prayer. This is over 40 years ago. And China is open up, but what China next? And we believe China to the world. We believe like father, like son. Just like Dennis Balcom is my father. I learned from him. He's a missionary. I'm a missionary. He bring the gospel to China, to Hong Kong. We bring the gospel to the end of the earth. And lot to talk. And there's a few book resources table at the back. I hope you can look around. And here is say One Journey, One Nation. But not one nation, from one nation, from China, and go to all nation. And we have a China Open Doors, which is also Dennis Balcom spoke. Very good. If you read Chinese, and this is a Chinese, and Dennis spoke. And also a few books, very lovely. And this book, over 200 years history. And it's a Chinese artist draw this. Probably Dennis will share more to you. And then we have a project for a minority. You know, China have two extremes. You have find the most wealthy in China, and also you find the most poor in China. And so there's a missionary or pastor in the remote area. The children have no education opportunity. And so we have a project to help them. So please take one that. This is a very powerful prayer map. And I travel literally around the world. I see many churches have this prayer map and pray for China. And if you like to more further contact with us, there's a China ship at the back. And we would love to connect with you. And also have at the back, you see the coconut shell. And also this is a soup from making by the Syrian refugees. And we have a beautiful ministry to we have discipleship for the Muslim young people. They became a Christian, and we want to discipleship them. We have a project now we call Rebuild Syria, not Rebuild Building. We believe peace is coming, but we want to rebuild life. As we discipleship them, when peace coming, we will going to Syria with them together. So those lovely Muslims, they make those soup. And before I sit down, hand over to Dennis, and we have a short video and introduce you our minority ministry in China. Thank you very much. God bless you.
是吗？她毕业多长时间了？去年有一年了，刚刚一年。小女儿读大三了，还有一年。我想还是回来以后让她在有2年的，就是在教会里的培训吧。然后感觉到一路也有神的恩典，但是在肉体方面也是非常的辛苦，特别是我妻子嘛。很多时候我跑到外面，我的手几乎都是有裂缝，有开裂的，但是她的手特别的。 看起来也是特别的，就是到处都是开裂的那种，非常辛苦。是，考虑也是，回想也是，真的是有点辛苦那样。这两个孩子，就是特别感觉到自己有一个就是那种自卑感的那种，有种就是，你看到很多就是邻居邻舍呢，他们上街的时候都带了很多很多吃的东西。
Thank you very much for allowing us to share. I'm going to share more in a few minutes about the soap that you can purchase to bless the people in Lebanon. And that particular video you just saw is about helping to provide support for young people to go to school, to college or Bible school in the remote areas of China because they're extremely poor there. Many want to go to Bible school or even regular school, but they have not the finances. And there are many Christians, but we have a fund whereby we can help the people and they can go to school, and when they graduate, they can get good jobs and actually improve the financial situation. And many go into the ministry. Well, if you would put on the PowerPoint, I have few pictures I'd like to share and some scriptures this evening. I'm going to be talking about evangelism, missions, and the Holy Spirit. We know that they're all related together, evangelism, missions, and the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm a missionary. I've been a missionary for a long time. And my church, Shiloh Christian Church, is a mission church. And your church is a mission church. Well, how can a mission church reach the nation. See, mission is the same word as being sent, apostle. A missionary is really an apostle, but we're all sent. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so sent I you. So, but really the actual term should be a missionary is someone that goes to a group that speaks a different language, a different culture, probably in a different part of the world, though you find many different linguistic, ethnic groups right in your own cities. But quite often you go overseas to bring them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, how can this be done? It can only be done through the Pentecostal experience. Missions began on the day of Pentecost when 120 people were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, the gospel we preach, we quite often use a term that is called the full gospel. We've been called not just to preach like the four spiritual laws, how to be saved and go to heaven. We've been called to preach the full gospel, redemption for body, soul, and spirit, salvation from sins that comes through repentance, baptism in the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, receiving gifts of the Holy Spirit, going, laying hands on the sick, healing the sick, casting out devils, and proclaiming the kingdom of God. That is what the full gospel is. So we are all called to preach the full gospel and to make disciples. Well, I perhaps received my call when I was 5, though I didn't know it, because my first friend was a Chinese who came from China. I have 4 sisters and 2 brothers. Some of you know my brothers, one Doug, one Bruce. They're down in Southern California. They're both pastors. Bruce was a missionary in South America and can speak Spanish. And so I was the first one to give my life to the Lord, and I was called to be a missionary. But it was really when I was 16 years old, when I went to a spirit-filled church, I saw miracles. It was an Assembly of God church. I heard people speaking in other languages. I saw sick people being healed. I saw demons being cast out. I knew the gospel was true. I was brought up as a Methodist, but in our Methodist church, they didn't preach the gospel. And at 16 years old, I saw the true gospel, and I heard the Lord call me to go as a missionary. And I read this scripture, ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. I thought about asking the Lord for Africa. I thought there's many missionaries in Africa. What about South America? South America's flooded with missionaries. Even our church, David Shock's church, we sent like 30 couples to Brazil alone. I was just there 2 weeks ago, by the way, with Daniel, ministering in Brazil. They've heard the gospel. Well, what about Europe? They've heard the gospel. All of a sudden I thought, China, they probably haven't heard the gospel. So I asked the Lord for China. People said, you can never go to China. It's a communist nation. But I asked the Lord for China. Now, it says, I will give you the nation. So I put, Lord, I ask you to give me China. And then he said, I'll give you the ends of the earth. And because the Lord gave me China, he's given me most of the nations in the world I've been to. Like just the pictures up here, this you may know is Russia. I was there just in May. This is Thailand. I've been there 3 times this year. This is Malaysia. I go about every other month. One of my greatest favorite nations is India, second largest nation in the world. I've been to Singapore many times. We have missionaries in Japan. Of course, we do a lot of work in China. I was just in Brazil, and this is the flag of the city I live in, Hong Kong. And of course, I came from America. Now I'm a missionary to you guys here in America. Praise the Lord. Now, it's the time for the church to send out missionaries to the whole world. Jesus said, don't say yet there's 4 months. Lift up your eyes. And it's good to have missionaries. And your pastor does that. Brings in missionaries. And you're working in Cambodia and Vietnam, places that I go to often myself. Because you need to lift up your eyes and see that this is the time of the harvest. There's never been a time in the history of the earth that more people are turning to Jesus Christ. More people are being saved. The church is seeing the greatest growth. Many open doors in spite of persecution that is increasing, which actually proves that the doors are opening because so many are getting saved. The devil says, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, the devil comes with great wrath because he knows his time is short. So there's persecution, but it is the time of the harvest. Now, I was sent to Hong Kong by Sister Violet Kiley. She passed away just about a year and a half ago or so, and she gave the church to her son, David. David gave the church to his son, and now he's given the church over to his daughter and his son-in-law. So this church is a mission church. And all over the years, they not only supported me in Hong Kong, but missionaries in Japan, in the Philippines, in Ethiopia. We have a Bible school, Shiloh Bible School in Ethiopia, and I go there quite often. They've trained over 1,000 students, and they have in turn, their ministry is to reach Muslims for the gospel. They in turn, according to Gary Munson, have saved and baptized over 200,000 Muslims. 200,000 Muslims there in North Africa. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is from the vision of Sister Kylie, a mission church. Well, if you told people you go to China, they say you're crazy. And so I didn't tell people that. But I had no less than 7 people that didn't know me that prophesied, you will go to communist China, to red China. This man, you may have heard of him, David Shock, called me out of a crowd of people. Young man, you're going to go to Asia. You're going to go to China. You'll be the first missionary to enter China. And that happened in 1978. I was the first missionary to enter China when the doors opened. And Ray Shazell also prophesied that I would be going to China. Many, many people, James Beale and other people. So that was a confirmation. But had they not prophesied, I would have gone because I heard his voice. He said, go to China. I will open the doors to China. Well, I got married. My wife was born and raised in Thailand. Her mother tongue was Thai. She was Presbyterian background. But since she got married to me, I said, I learned to speak Chinese in 7 months. I'll give you one full year to learn to speak Chinese. We got married in 1971. From 1972 to this day, we've never once spoken in English. I've never once spoken English with my children. I have a daughter and a son because we're all Chinese. You've heard about bonding. When you go to a nation, you become one with the people. Amen. I told my wife, you're getting married to a Chinese. Now I have 2 grandchildren. Katie now is 20 years old. She's going to the Berklee College of Music in Boston because she wants to use music to evangelize. Praise the Lord. So this is my family in Hong Kong. Well, we know there's a lot of opposition. There's spiritual powers that are arrayed against us because Paul says after talking about spiritual warfare, Ephesians chapter 6, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of the age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the holy places. You know, a lot of missionaries are greatly shocked when they go to the mission field, especially in Asia. First of all, those that are evangelical, those that are like Baptists or Missionary Alliance, they find very soon that they cannot do anything without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they find that the most effective churches, ministries, are those that are Pentecostal, charismatic, that are filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And they found that if they don't get the Holy Spirit, they'll not be able to do anything. So they get the Holy Spirit, but then a problem. They might get kicked out of their denomination, right? That happens all the time. So we see these kind of things. And then a lot of people, they don't understand about these spiritual forces, about these demonic forces, about praying in the Holy Spirit, about casting out of demons. And they have a great shock. But they find that very, very soon. Spiritual powers are arrayed against us. Let me give them an example. Many years ago, I went to a place in Henan. This is teaching the people in Henan. Henan is the largest province with 100 million people. About 15% are Christian. These are 2 of the main leaders of one of the groups. When I met them in 1980, their churches had 20,000 people. I taught them in the early 1980s from the baptism of the Holy Spirit to people like Moses Vey and David Kiley and even my brother Doug Balkin and many others, David Kopp, to go and to give them prophetic words to establish them. They received the Holy Spirit. That group of 20,000 people received the gifts of the Holy Spirit, went out with great power. There's some of the books at the back you can read, like China's Opening Door. There's a man called David Aikman that wrote a book called Jesus in Beijing. It talks a lot about our ministry. And you can see the power of the Holy Spirit. That group now is grown to 5 million believers. From 20,000 to 5 million. That was 1980 to the present day. So I was teaching them and I said, this is a main leader, by the way. I've been in prison with him before. I've been arrested or been in prison 5 times. The first time in California. I was arrested in California for preaching the gospel, you know. When you go on the street and preach the gospel, you're going to get somebody mad. And that's what we love to do. But I've been in prison with him before. In fact, in China, you're not qualified as a minister until you've been to prison at least once. If you haven't been to prison once, they don't want to listen to you. You have nothing going for you. Because if you really preach the gospel, you will have gone to prison. But you know, that's where the church really grows, in prisons. They evangelize more in prison than outside of prison. So this man has been in prison many times, and he's the leader of this group. Well, actually, I was there many years ago. I said, you need to send missionaries to another province called Sichuan. Because at that time, Hunan had at least 10% Christians. Sichuan had only 1% Christians. So they sent several young missionaries there. After a year, they said, would you go and minister to the people in Sichuan? Now, this is how I say Sichuan. It has very hot, spicy food, if you know much about Chinese cuisine. Well, this was me in 1994. I was a lot younger and thinner then. But I went up to the mountains. I climbed for about 6 hours. I thought, who would live in these mountains? It's so remote. I got to a village, and they'd never seen a foreigner. I was the first foreigner ever. And the people were so surprised. They'd come up, sir, what happened to you? What kind of a sickness did you have? They'd feel my hair and my skin, the children, you know. I said, I was born this way. They'd never seen a white person before. And I realized that the government had not gone there. They had no education. They had never heard about a train, an airplane, a telephone, electricity. They were like living in the Middle Ages as far as we're concerned. They hadn't even heard of Coca-Cola. Now, Coca-Cola goes everywhere, but Coca-Cola hadn't gotten there. They didn't even know who was the leader of China. They hadn't heard of the Communist Party. They hadn't heard of Mao Zedong. But everybody, without exception, was a believer in Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Praise the Lord. So I went to their church, and it was a house church, and it wasn't this picture because I didn't have a camera then, but we had like 250 people, and they were all standing in one room, and there were so many people from the front to the back. And my back was actually at the back wall, okay? And so I'm at the back wall, and the first person is this close to me. So I'm holding my Bible kind of like this, you know, and I'm reading the Bible, okay? And I preach for 2 hours. Anybody want to take a break? Oh, no, no, no. We're so hungry for the Word. Now, they're standing. I mean, if you stood for 2 hours, you'd be pretty tired. Go on. I preach for another hour, 3 hours. Do you want to maybe take a break and go to the restroom? I'm sorry, Pastor, there's no restroom here. This is just someone's home, you know. Okay, I'm going to go find a tree outside. Okay, you'll be back at least in 10 minutes at the most. How long do you want me to preach today? At least 12 hours today. And then tomorrow, 12 hours. And the next day, 12 hours. Then we'll go to another village. And I'm preaching. They said, would you please read the Bible verse again? I say, don't you understand my Chinese? No, your Chinese is great. Why do you want me to read the Bible verse again? Everybody had a notepad, kind of like this. This is actually a hand-copied portion of the Bible, the book of Acts. But they had a notepad like this, and they were copying the Bible. They were copying the scriptures one by one. That's what they wanted, like you're reading through the whole Bible. Well, they wanted me to preach the whole Bible, you know. I don't know how long it would take to preach the whole Bible. But they were writing it down. I said, does anybody have a Bible? One young sister, Sister Chun, that helped to carry the luggage up the mountain said, I have a Bible. I thought, why? She's very short, very young, looked like she was 14 years old at the most. I talked to her in the break. Why do you have the only Bible? I said, didn't they tell you that my family was the only Christian, and going back to the times of Hudson Taylor, someone from Hudson Taylor came here and preached the gospel. But we were the only people that believed. These people, like Daniel, witchcraft, superstition, you know, curses and Buddhism, of course. No one wanted to believe but my family, my grandfather, my parents believed, and I believed. But the people you sent from Hunan, they were even different from Hudson Taylor's group. They came with the power of the Holy Spirit. There's about 15 or 20 of them. They couldn't even speak our local dialect, but they went to the village and they said, bring out the sick people. So they brought out the sick people. Before they did anything or said anything, they laid hands and healed them. And there were many demon-possessed people. They saw the demons cast out. People been mentally ill for years were completely healed. They went to 2 or 3 funerals and they raised the people from the dead. Praise the Lord. And we saw the miracles and they told us about Jesus. They said, the devil cannot do that. No religion can do that. Only Jesus can do that. And now we all believe in Jesus. 15,000 people. Hallelujah. But they hadn't even Bibles. So she said, my family has the only Bible in this village. And this just, they left just a few months before I came. So please give us the word of God. This is just ordinary people like you and me, but baptized in the Holy Spirit preaching the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the power of God. It's not a religion theory. It's the power of God to those that believe. And in fact, Jesus demonstrated the kingdom of God. And we are to preach the kingdom of God. And Paul says the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So it's not only proclamation, it's demonstration. Now, you read this scripture, kind of makes you feel really sad. The book of Hebrews, people that are like Calvinists, Reformed theology, don't like the book of Hebrews because there's a lot of warnings, you know, how if you willfully sin after you receive the knowledge of the truth, there's no more sacrifice for sins. There is many warnings in Hebrews. Here it begins with the warning, how shall we escape if we neglect the salvation? The salvation was spoken by the Lord Jesus, confirmed by those that heard him, the apostles. How did God confirm it? With signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit. That is how the gospel was confirmed. Now, he says, how can we escape if we neglect? You know, many, many, many people in the West are neglecting their Pentecostal, revival, latter rain roots that emphasize the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the apostolic ministry, praying for Israel and blowing the shofar or whatever. They are neglecting that and becoming religious like a church called Galatian. It is the most moving letter in the New Testament. You can see the turmoil in the heart of Paul. He said, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Because Jesus Christ was clearly set before you crucified. And he said, someone came and preached another gospel. And you believed it. Another Christ, and you believed it. And then he goes on in chapter 3 and at verse 2, he says, I want to ask you, did you receive this Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of the faith? How do you receive the Holy Spirit? Not by works of law, not by fasting and praying, not by even trying to be holy, but by faith. And when you preach the gospel to anybody and they make a decision to repent and believe in Jesus Christ, you should at that very time pray that they will be baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. It is very easy. The longer you wait, the harder it begins. When they accept Christ, when they are born again, the Holy Spirit will easily fill them. So he says, you receive by the hearing of faith. Did you begin in the Spirit? Or are you now made perfect in the flesh by religious rules and regulations? And then he says, said, he that supplied the Spirit. It could have been Paul. It could have been one of many, many people. Someone went to the church and gave them the Holy Spirit, and he did miracles. Did that person do it by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? So we need to have faith. We need to preach the gospel, which is not only proclamation and demonstration. And what Jesus is not coming back tonight, as many people would like him to come back today, but he's not coming back because there's still many ethnic groups. The word nations is ethnic groups, linguistic groups. Several thousand don't even have the Bible in their own language. But it can happen maybe in our lifetime, maybe in 100 years, we don't know. But when the gospel of the kingdom is preached with power to all the ethnic groups, the end shall come. Let me tell you about Lebanon. This is where Daniel and his group has been. You know, there's been a war there in Syria. And because Syria borders on Lebanon, there's been hundreds of thousands of refugees that have gone to Lebanon. They're living in the refugee camps. And these are some of the camps there. Well, our ministry, Nexus Ministry, is involved in going to Lebanon. They've had several teams, so I've not been there myself. Many of my church, including my son-in-law and my daughter and many of our workers have been there. This is my son-in-law, my daughter. You know, I tell the people, being the pastor's daughter has many benefits. One of the benefits is you can get married to the most handsome guy in the church, right? So he's pretty handsome, right? You know, his name is Samuel. And these are some of the people from our church. His brother's a dentist and he goes and gives him free dental work. So in a minute, you can prepare the first video in just a few seconds. This is our guy, Daniel, right here with him just, not too long ago. We're going to the Lebanese churches and worshiping and praying with them and preaching the gospel and praying that they'll be filled with the Holy Spirit and they will be revived. Go into the refugee camps. There's both Muslims and Christian refugees being with the children, sharing and blessing them and just sharing the love of Jesus Christ. Many goods are shipped from Hong Kong or they buy them there to give to the people. This is a family. Just put on that video and you will see the message and what they're doing there in Lebanon.
Not what it was meant to be. All this pain, all this suffering.
This is apparently a market.
There's a better
refugee camp
waiting for me in heaven.
Sharing the love of Jesus with the children.
Every tear will be wiped away. Every sorrow and sin erased. We'll dance.
People from a war zone seeing death, having lost their parents, respond to love. They receive a lot of goods.
I'm going home where the streets are golden. Every chain is broken. Oh, I wanna go. Oh, I wanna go home.
It's my son-in-law hugging some of the children. The love of Jesus, peace, joy, and the Holy Ghost, hearing the Word of God. These are some of the goods that we're sharing with these refugees receiving free dental treatment. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, worshiping the Lord. Now they're making the soap, and you can buy some of that soap, and the money will go to bless the people in Lebanon. It'll go directly to them, so that they could help to be some self-supporting. You're all welcome to go, to visit, to bless, to minister. Come and see us soon. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. You can put back on the PowerPoint. Have a short time. I just want to share a little bit about what's happening in our part of the world. Okay. It's not seeming to respond right now. Can you? Okay. Okay, now, we know this scripture well. Sister Kylie preached on it, that before Jesus comes back, there must be the times of restitution or restoration of all things that the prophet spoke. So throughout church history, from the time of Martin Luther, we're this year remembering on October the 31st, the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. By the way, in addition to my church in Hong Kong, we have a church in Paris, France, quite a large church of several hundred Chinese, and we're having a special conference. We have it every year. And it's at the same time of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, 500 years ago. But from that time, God has been restoring truth and power, gifts of the Holy Spirit to the truth, to the church, and only when the gospel has been preached with power will Jesus return. Now, this power comes when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll become a witness. The word witness actually also means a martyr, because so many of the New Testament Christians were martyred. We know except John, all of the apostles were martyred. We've had more martyrs in China than any nation. The first missionary went to China in 635 AD, but missions from Protestantism only began in 1807, only a little over 200 years ago. But we've had a total of 250,000 Christians and missionaries martyred in China. In a few months alone, in the year 1900, 266 missionaries and 45,000 Chinese Christians were beheaded. You think ISIS is bad news. This happened in China. But Tertullian, one of the early church fathers, said about AD 150, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. So, you will be persecuted. There will be martyrdom. There will be suffering when you receive the Holy Spirit. You will be a witness for Jesus. Well, in China, our songbook is a little bit different from your songbook. Our songbook is in the Bible. It's great you can read through the Bible. In China, we sing the Bible. We can sing chapter after chapter after chapter of the Bible. See, used to be when they put the people in prison, they wouldn't have any Bible. You cannot have the Bible even now in prison. So what they do is they would get a notebook, like this is a notebook or some paper, and they would copy the scriptures they memorized by memory and have their own hand-copied Bible. This, by the way, is the book of Acts. So they would memorize the whole of the book of Acts, and they would copy these into the Bible. By the way, this one that Phil used to do open doors, this is the whole Gospel of John in Russian, praise the Lord. And people used to do that, you know, Brother Andrew, and open doors. And then we have some that are in Korean. But, you know, China, they would sing the Bible. And this is one we sing in Chinese, is Acts 1:8. 当圣灵降临在你们身上，你们就必得着能力，并要在耶路撒冷、犹太全地和撒玛利亚，直到地极，做我的见证。It's a beautiful song, and they'll sing it over and over again, and everyone will begin to speak in tongues and prophesying and begin to laugh and fall on the floor. I mean, they really believe it. They sing it, and they believe in the experience. Hallelujah. That's our church in China. They love to sing the word of God. Well, have you ever had anyone ask you this question? People ask you many questions. Paul asked this question to a church, Ephesus. Famous Apollos started that church. But he went to a meeting. There's only 12 people, not very much of a revival. Why? Because that church had a famous pastor but hadn't been baptized in the Holy Spirit. He said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They said, "We haven't heard." And so he talked about the Holy Spirit. He laid hands on them. They all spoke in tongues. And that church developed to one of the biggest churches in the book of Acts. Not only are people being asked, "Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit?" They're being asked in the Bible, "Have you received the gifts of the Holy Spirit?" Paul says that you should seek, desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Now, speaking in tongues is speaking to God, and prayer and worship and intercession, spiritual warfare. Prophesy is to men. It edification, exhortation, and comfort. And we've seen this in China. Just a few minutes, I'll show you how we do this in China. Okay, Jesus said, "Go and preach the gospel. He that is baptized will be saved." And then he said, "These signs will follow those that believe." Not you follow the signs. They will follow you. The three most common that you see all over the world. You go to Africa, you go to India, you go to Brazil. I was there with Daniel just a few weeks ago. You'll see it all over the world is people will speak in new languages. By the way, I've heard many people speak in that were Chinese speaking fluent English that didn't know a word of English. In fact, one guy spoke with an Oxford accent quoting Shakespeare in English. Many, many psalms with an Oxford accent. In King James English, "O Lord, thy glory doth fill the heavens and the earth we worship." The guy didn't even know A, B, C, D. I've heard that many, many times. So, speaking in tongues is not this charismatic la, 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 papa. You know, they give you, "Follow me, la, la, papa." No, it is a language. It is a miracle. Okay, they will speak with new languages. And also, they will cast out devils and they will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And we see that the book of Acts just gives a simple history. Jesus went to heaven. They went everywhere preaching the Lord, working with them. Just let me show you a few examples. When I was young, much of the world was closed because Russia was then Soviet Union, China, and you could only go to these nations that had been evangelized. But in my lifetime, they've been open. You know, the Philadelphia Church, the Church of Brotherly Love, has a promise. "I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it." So we're living in the times of the opening door. Now, you probably know where this beautiful picture is. This is Red Square in Moscow. I was there not too long ago. I wanted to see this guy. I had witnessed to him. They wouldn't let me on the Red Square. I'm not that important. I said, "I'm an ambassador." "Well, Phil, I'm the kingdom of heaven." "Well, they wouldn't let me on, you know." But he was actually having a meeting right beside where we were having a meeting. Putin was having a big parade at the Red Square. We gathered 1,200 spirit-filled leaders only a block away from the Red Square to worship the Lord. They said there's now 5,000 registered churches, 20,000 non-registered churches, and I've been to Russia many times, and Putin is persecuting the church like nothing now. If you're a missionary and witness to more than five people, you can be put in prison or expelled. More than five people. And they're ready for persecution. They've been through it before. But the churches I found, they used to be very legalistic. They used to be very, the Pentecostals went very formal. But now they are spirit-filled. They're worshiping. They're talking about restoration, gifts of the Spirit. They sing the same music you sing, clap their hands, and they're preaching the gospel. Russia's seeing now a major revival. You know, anybody can do the works that Jesus did. Jesus didn't do the works that he did because he was the Son of God, but because he was anointed of the Holy Spirit. And he went everywhere doing good and oppressing those that were, and healing those who were oppressed of the devil. And you can do the same things. It's like in the book of Acts. We're seeing these things in China, in India. Put people on the street. Peter walks by. People are healed. We've been in meetings of India. 300,000 people. I don't have no time to show the video. We preach the gospel for 5 days, healed the sick. After 5 days, 80,000 Hindus got converted. 80,000 Hindus gave their life to Jesus Christ because they saw the miracles. And another day, I'll come and show you the video. Then a brother had a chauffeur just like that. And we said, when you hear the sound of the chauffeur, it's going to be your Pentecost, and all you people are going to speak in tongues. There were 300,000 people in that meeting, and you'll see on the video, all over that area, they all, when they heard the sound of the chauffeur, they began to speak in tongues. Hallelujah. 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, 300,000. That was in Madras, called Chennai, India. These things are happening today. Let me just give you a few testimonies. This was a conference in Thailand. I've been there three times this year. We had about 3,000 people. Many, many Buddhists are getting saved. Thailand, for the first time in history, is seeing a great revival. My wife was born and raised in Thailand, and her mother tongue was Thai. The first missionary that went to Thailand in the 19th century took 14 years to get a convert. Christians have always been less than 1%, but now the church in Thailand is growing because of miracles. Well, this meeting was put on by Dr. Cho and by Dr. Lee, and you know they have a church called the Beautiful Gospel Church. I've been there two times this year. Their church now has grown to 800,000 people, 800,000 people, but they divide it into other churches, so the main church has 550,000. The other churches are branch churches. His ministry has gone around the world. There's been some controversy. He made some mistakes, and he's apologized and repented. He's 82 years old, still preaching the gospel. They gave the church to Dr. Lee. And so recently we had a meeting in Hong Kong at the end of August. We had over 10,000 people that came. These are some of the Chinese. And many people came from China. They're all speaking in tongues. Something like to say how the Chinese pray. Many of them came. One night we had multiple healings. We had hundreds of people healing. This night we had hundreds, maybe over 1,000 for the first time were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. This has happened a few weeks ago. Now, but one more thing. That's great having meetings like that. But you know, the greatest contribution Dr. Cho and his church and other Korean churches have made to Christianity is the prayer fasting mountain. Actually, in Korean and Chinese, it's the fasting prayer mountain. Because if you can fast, it's not hard to pray. If you really get down to fasting, it'll be easy to pray. Because fasting is the most difficult thing. You can go to any time of the year and there'll be thousands of people there fasting and praying. Just go to the Seoul airport. Just ask anybody, where is the bus to the fasting prayer mountain? And they will take you there. Praise the Lord. And if you don't have much money, just had to pay a few dollars a day for the room. Now, if you really can't take it for fasting, they do have a small noodle shop for you guys, you know, Americans that have a hard time. But go there to pray. You'll see thousands of people praying. Well, most of the Chinese that go come from Taiwan. Every year I was just a speaker there recently. We had over 3,000 Chinese, mostly from Taiwan. Taiwan used to be almost Presbyterian. Now those Presbyterians were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And in 20 years, the churches grew by 1,400 more churches. In 20 years, the number of Christians increased by 841,000. In 20 years ago, the population of Christians was 2.9%. Now it's 6.3%. 3%, a growth of 3.4%, whereas the whole population of Taiwan has grown by less than 1%. This is called revival, when the church outgrows the population. Praise the Lord. 1949, we had 700,000 Christians in China, 0.5%. Now we have over 100 million, 8 to 9%. It is time. God loves the Chinese people. He's chosen them. He's revealed himself. By the way, you know, there's 7,000 languages in the world. Now, if you want to be a missionary, if you learn 23 languages, these 23 languages are spoken by more than 50 million people, you can actually go to 4.1 billion people. Now, that would be great to be able to preach the language of 4.1 billion people. If you only speak English, there's only 335 million people that speak English as a native tongue, but it's true. 1.5 billion people speak English, including as a second tongue. But 1.2 billion people speak Chinese. That's why I went to China. I'll be done soon, but I just want to show a little about the meetings in China. This is Henan back in the 1980s. This is my daughter when she was disguised with me because there were no foreigners in China. In fact, that's when she was prayed by Brother Yun, the heavenly man, and she then had a call to go to China. And now she's a missionary to China and a pastor. I used to have to be put in coffins and smuggled in as a corpse. That was my most common mode of transportation, was a coffin. How many of you use a coffin to go to a church to preach? Because there are no foreigners, no blonde people, no blue-eyed people. So I was often in a coffin cart, in and out. I had many experiences that way. But once I got to the church, it was okay. This is Brother Yun, and I actually prayed for him to receive the Holy Spirit. This is his wife. We had to meet in a cave because there's so much persecution. And these are some of the house churches. I went to this place. You just saw those people I showed you, that man I said I was in prison with. The police told me in that particular county now that 20% of the people believe in Jesus. Hallelujah. That's tremendous in a communist nation. Here we have a meeting of 4,000 people in the open. And here's a man praying. You have the prayer. They don't have a projector or anything like that in those days. But they have the prayer request on the wall for the people to repent, for unity, for those that are being persecuted. Here it is back in the 1980s and 90s, praying for people to receive the Holy Spirit. Well, not only China, but we are called to preach the gospel. You see, Paul said, the mystery I received is made manifest by the scriptures, and it's being known to all the nations that they would obey the faith. Jesus said, if I'm lifted up, I'm going to draw all people to myself. And this is happening in our day. And it began on the day of Pentecost when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues. And the Bible says that there were all the nations that came from under heaven, that was the then known heaven, the Roman Empire, to Jerusalem. And these people were Jews from the dispersion, and that was part of God's plan. They were dispersed from the time of the Assyrians. By the way, the lost 10 tribes are not the lost 10 tribes. They're not Israel. They're not America. Paul, and not to me, but James says his letter is to the different tribes that are scattered. They were always there. They've never been lost. But on the day of Pentecost, because of that was a very important day when they blew the shofar, they came back and they heard them speak in their own languages. They said, hey, we're from Rome or we're from Crete. Here's all the different places where they came from. We hear them speaking the wonderful works of God. And I've also heard many foreigners that don't know a word of Chinese speak in perfect Chinese in different dialects over and over and over. And every time they were worshiping and praising the Lord. So these people took this message back to their nations. And then the whole message of the book of Acts is how the gospel was preached in Samaria and where Philip went. There were many miracles that happened. The sick were healed. The evil spirits were cast out. And then Philip went to the desert, to Gaza, and witnessed to the Ethiopian eunuch, and he got saved, and he went back and told the Ethiopians about Jesus. Philip went to all these different cities because the Lord translated him, and he preached Christ unto them. Later on, Caesar heard the gospel through Peter. He received a vision, and God spoke to Peter, and he went there, and he said, God has shown me not to call any man common or unclean. And as he tell them the story of Jesus, the Holy Spirit came, and they began
begin to speak in tongues. They were baptized in water. The gospel now is going to the Gentiles. And these are all manifestations of revival. One last testimony, and I will just show you a very short video. These are some of the churches in China. This is in a house church that built their own building in a place called Ningbo. These are people being filled with the Holy Spirit. This city is called Fuqing. In this city, 24% of all the people are Christians. This is China. This church is called the House of Praise. It has 1,000 people in it. And they are certainly evangelizing many young people, which is against the law, but they are preaching the gospel. And they are seeing the church grow. And here I'm praying for them to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I've been doing that for the last many decades. I'm an arsonist, been setting the fires into the church. Praise the Lord. That's my job, to cause the fire of the Holy Spirit to burn. The pastor and his wife, he said, my vision is to grow the church to 10,000 people. That's in China. It says, Yesu Aini means Jesus loves you on the main street in a communist nation. Just last this testimony. This is called Daqing. You've heard a lot about North Korea and South Korea. This is farther north of North Korea. It's in the very close to Russia. I went there a long time ago. This particular city. Okay, if you see the pointer isn't quite responding right now. Okay, can you help me to push it? Okay, this used to be an oil-producing area, and it was very well known in the time of Chairman Mao because it was an industrial area. First time I went there, there were no foreigners. So I had to disguise myself. Fortunately, it was 30 degrees below zero Celsius, and that is Fahrenheit, so I could put on dark glasses, a face mask, and a cap, and they didn't recognize that I was a foreigner. I went to a house church, and I prayed for them to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. There were 2,500 Christians in the whole city at that time, and they received the Holy Spirit. I prophesied to the pastor's son. I forgot, but he reminded me. And he was 12 years old. I said, you're going to become a pastor, and you're going to lead the largest church in this city called Daqing. He told me later, I didn't even believe in Jesus. I didn't want to become a Christian. But after you left, a great revival came. In fact, I went back 2 years later in 1991, and we happened to witness two people that were raised from the dead. Multiple miracles. Cripples were rising up and walked. The blind were seeing. 1994, the church had grown to 400,000 people. When he was 15 years old, he said, I'm going to be a minister. He went to the Bible seminary, and it was the official church, and they put him over the official church, and now he has the largest church. His church has 3,000 people. He says, now in the whole city, there are 300,000 Christians. The population is 2.9 million. That means over 10% of the people believe in Jesus. Preaching there. I preached for many hours. There were people on the platform. You couldn't get the people in. They were in the adjacent halls and they were standing. We saw multiple people healed and filled with the Holy Spirit. This was in 2014. And then after that, we went to the church of his wife. His wife has her own church. It's a smaller church, only 1,200 people, called St. Paul's Church. Now they've worked together and built a new church that can sit 12,000 people. They just moved into that church just recently. Praise the Lord. This is a city that in 1989, 2,000 Christians, now has 300,000. This is because of the revival of the Holy Spirit. You can prepare that second video and I'll close with that. Young people are being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Don't want to see young people on fire for God and the sick are healed through prayer. Let's put on that video and just see what God is doing in China. Praise the Lord. I'm so excited because this is the time of the last great revival, okay? This is a revival in China. This is his church. 要赞美。It's an official church under the government, but very lively. Percent of the city now believe in Jesus. And preaching the full gospel message. I said, you need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. This is not for Pentecostal charismatics. This is for every Christian. Usually when you preach at least 2 to 3 hours. And then after you preach, you pray for them for an hour or two. And the people rush to the front. But you see the church is crowded. There are people sitting on the platform. This is way all over China. This is a time of greatest harvest in the midst of greatest persecution. We don't see that hunger for God in many nations, but we see it in India, in Africa, in China, in other places, because God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Who would think a nation like this, been under such persecution, atheistic, evolutionary teaching, yet masses of young people are turning to Jesus Christ. I said, I can't lay hands on all you people, so lay hands on yourself. And everybody that is not filled with the Holy Spirit is going to speak in tongues. And everybody that is sick is going to be healed. And so they do it, praise the Lord. You would think, well, you're not going to give them individual ministry. How can I? But then as they begin to pray, you hear them one by one speaking in beautiful, beautiful, fluent languages as they're receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we also want them to receive gifts of the Holy Spirit. I say, all of you are evangelists, all of you are preachers, all of you go out and you do the same thing. Praise the Lord. This is what I've been doing for the past 48 years, if you don't know what I've been doing. I love it. I didn't get rich by it, but I got a lot of people happy, and I got myself happy. I went to the pastor's wife church and only had 1,200 people. It's a little church, but it's okay. Praise the Lord. And the same different people, but the same spirit. See, people sitting on the front. Wouldn't be nice to have that problem in your church. If people had to sit on the front, you can't even get in the door. So after preaching for a couple hours, I said, you're going to all receive a blessing. You're going to all receive the Holy Spirit. You're all going to receive gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to forth and preach the gospel. I believe my nation, China, it only has now about 8 or 9% Christian. But we leave by the year 2035. 30% of our people will be Christian. Our nation will be saved. America will be saved. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you very much for your patience and allowing me to share the word of the Lord. Thank you very much, Pastor.
Amen.